I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour is the author of Stop the Fight, the 12 most common arguments, or rather, how to break free from the 12 most common arguments, which she will outline for us and build a relationship that lasts. Our guest has been counseling couples and counseling people in the workplace for a number of years. She's an executive coach and a clinical psychologist. Her name is Dr. Michelle Brody. And it's based on the principle of helping clients visualize and understand the unproductive processes that they get stuck in and to enable them to see their way out and make sustainable changes. She says, and most of us can identify with this, that sometimes fights seem to occur over the most foolish things, and you can't imagine when you look back how you let yourself get so worked up about something so silly. But then again, they happen again. And we find ourselves having exactly the same fight that we had with our partner last week or maybe even last year. So she says we need a new way to think about fights, a way that's simple to understand, it's easy to remember, and to put into practice. And so that's what we'll talk about this hour of our program. And welcome your phone calls. I'm sure that, you know, we've all had fights with our spouses about various things. If you have what seems to be an intractable situation, or if you're finding yourself having the same fight over and over, be it about difficult relatives, about sex, about money, about nagging and tuning out, or whatever one of the other 12 is, we welcome your phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we are on Twitter as well, and that's at K Dunn Show. Dr. Michelle Brody, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it's a good book to write because we think of ourselves as being peaceful, calm people, but we all have fights, don't we?
Everybody.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
It's kind of unavoidable. And I think, you know, sometimes people worry that when they fight, at least at the beginning of a relationship, that it means something terrible about the relationship. It just means you're normal. It means that, because there isn't a couple that lasts for a long time that doesn't come away with some fights. The key is, how do you make the fights productive and move yourself in the direction of deepening the bond you have with your partner instead of creating more distance.
Yeah. You list early on in the book the 12 things that we, I assume, fight the most about. Are there a top three on the list?
Well, it's interesting. I would characterize it this way. There are top topic fights, like money, sex, and, you know, household responsibilities. And those would be kind of the topic fights that are very, very common.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is the kind of deeper version of those fights, which is really about, like, do you care about me?
Mm-hmm.
And are you there for me? Those are, at the core, what a lot of fights that at the surface are about topics, you know, how neat are you, or when, you know, what did you buy me for Christmas? But at the core, it's really something much deeper. Are you really my partner? Are you
right
there for me?
Yeah. You say early on in the book, so this is a good place for us to get right to it, there is one thing above all, you write, that can help us stop repetitive fights. One thing that will help you regain control and start turning your interactions in a more positive direction. What's that one thing?
So that one thing is seeing the entire fight from both sides, seeing the entirety of the fight. I mean, here's the interesting thing. Most of the, when you look at advice that you get in the media or from a magazine or whatever about how do you solve a fight, typically it's phrased in this way. How do I get my partner to X? How do I get my partner to spend less? How do I get my partner to want to sleep with me more? How do I get my partner to, you know, care about me more? It's a very one-sided, linear way of looking at what's distressing. If you're able to look at the whole fight from both sides, and as a couples therapist, that's what we do all the time. It's like the balcony view of the fight. Why is each person really trying hard to make something better of this? And often that's the case. We're fighting because we're fighting for the relationship. We're trying to change something. So each partner from their side is doing something to try to solve the problem. But when they both try to solve it in these very divergent ways, they actually ignite the fight. So the one thing that you can do is really to get the balcony view, to be able to see both sides, to get the full perspective. I call that the big picture.
Hmm. And you start the book by talking about a play. Describe what was in the play and how everybody in the audience laughed uproariously because they saw themselves in it, I assume.
Absolutely. So there was this play I went to. It was actually in New Haven years ago, where there was this couple on stage that was playing cards. And as they played cards, one partner would, kind of said something that was a little stabbing to the other. And the other responded back with another sharp barb. And then they were off and running.
Ooh.
And the fight got more and more escalated over time. And the audience, the fascinating part here is, so this couple is in greater and greater distress as their fight escalates. And the audience is laughing uproariously because we know we've been there, number one. And number two, you can actually see what's happening on both sides, that they're just overreacting or something is firing them up. And neither one is really able to step out and change the pace or the fire that's happening between them. And we recognize it, but it's so rare when you're inside of your own couple to actually be able to step out and see that audience view. But it's the thing that can actually make the biggest change.
Hmm. Interesting. So maybe we need to see ourselves as though we're in a play when we're in one of these fights, huh?
Sometimes, or really just to ask the question of your partner, to be really curious, what is going on from your side? Why are you getting so fired up about this?
Right.
Let me understand what's at the bottom of it for you, and let me explain what's at the bottom of it for me. Usually we're explaining what's at the top of it. You forgot to pick up your socks. That's at the top. At the bottom is, I felt like you didn't care about me because I asked you to pick up your socks, and you didn't. That's what's at the bottom. That's what we don't always talk about.
Interesting. Oh, I gave up the picking up your socks a long time ago. Really a long time ago. It's hard, though, when you're in the moment of a fight because you get so emotional. Sometimes you just, you want to prove your point. You just can hardly find the words and to remove yourself when you have that kind of emotional investment in the fight is a hard thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, you're fighting against your own fight or flight system in that moment.
Mm.
So something comes in as a threat, and a social threat or a threat that a feelings threat is just as bad as, any kind of physical threat that comes from the outside. So your partner rejecting you, or your partner distancing, or your partner yelling at you or criticizing you, those are all real threats that come at you. And the second it comes at you, your nervous system is firing. And once it fires, you're going to say things while being defensive that are actually the things that then fire up your partner, too. So it doesn't matter who gets fired first. Once you're both in this defensive mode, which I call that's really the core of the fight, how do you get your two nervous systems to calm down enough to be able to really change it? That's what we're up against. That's why it's so hard to break up our own fights.
So how often is it, Dr. Brody, that fights you write can leave deep emotional wounds? There are sometimes things that are said in a fight that really cut to your core that you remember. I've been in fights like that in my life, and you remember them sometimes years later. What do you do with those deep wounds?
Yeah, it's so hard because when your partner has said something that's really deeply damaging, like in the middle of a fight says something really, truly awful, like, I hate your guts.
Mm-hmm.
Something, and you say, how could a person that loves me say something like that? And then you remember it because it's so distinctive. It stands out for you. It's just so breaking the rules. This is not what someone who loves me should be saying. And it's very hard to let it go. So one of the things that I try to talk to couples about that I work with is you have to understand that when you're in defensive mode, you actually don't care what you're doing. You're not really worried about inflicting pain because you're just defending yourself. And, it's survival time. And so you throw out a whole lot of junk that doesn't make any sense or that isn't really what you mean. And what one interesting thing about that is when we're in relationship with a child that we love deeply, and you kind of blow your top, something happens and you're a great parent, but you blow your top. Typically, we can understand that even when, as a parent, you blow your top, you still love your kid, right? There's something you say that's really not great, but you still know you really love your kid. We don't always extend that same courtesy to our partners. So your partner will say something really outrageous, And we say, now I'm going to remember that outrageous thing you said, because that's evidence that you don't love me. But if we were able to apply that parent-child model...
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Right? We could then say, you know what? Actually, you do love me. It's just you blew your top.
Mm-hmm.
Let me understand what happened to you that you blew your top. Because I'm equally capable of blowing my top, and I don't want you to focus on what I say when I blow my top. I want you to focus on what the hurt was that drove it. Because if you can understand what the hurt was, then you know that what I said in the fight wasn't really the main point.
Mm. Well, you're good. Come on over for dinner. Let's welcome phone calls. We'll do it in just one moment. Dr. Michelle Brody is our guest, and her book is Stop the Fight, How to Break Free from the 12 Most Common Arguments and Build a Relationship That Lasts. It's an illustrated guide for couples, and she concentrates on the partner improvement fight, proving your point, the nagging, tuning out fight, the escalating fight, the household responsibilities, the birthday fight, bad reputation, you don't care about me, the parenting differences, the money fight, the sex fight, the difficult relatives fight. I'm sure that everybody listening has been in one of those at some point, and how do you get out of it? Her book is filled with valuable advice. You can tell that she, for many years now, has been doing counseling. She's a clinical psychologist who's been resolving relational conflict in couples and also in the workplace for over 20 years. She's a senior trainer for psychologists and executives, and we're welcoming phone calls. You don't have to use your real name if you feel like you would be identifiable, but, you know, we've all been there. We've all been in these, and sometimes they just take over, and you'd like for them to not happen, and certainly not have the same fight, you know, that you had last week, or you had 2 weeks ago, or a month ago, or a year ago. So won't you join our conversation, and she can give you some real-life advice. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And lines are open for you right now. We would really love to hear from you, because it's best that we hear from real people on this, and then we can move through what an answer might be for you. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, with whom I have never had a fight. Isn't that amazing? After all this time, we never have had a fight.
We don't think we have.
I don't think we have either. Isn't that something?
Well, something to go for.
I know. And I can be, you know, I can fight with people, but I don't with you. We're in our year-end membership drive, and this is your chance to support the WPR programs that you count on every single day, the programs that keep you in touch, they keep you informed and interested. Your gift is very important to us as we end 2015 and look forward to a brand new year.
That's right, and we heard from so many listeners.
It was
last
a great
hour.
Thank you.
25 different listeners called in and made a pledge. Thank you so much. We have a goal that's a little less than that this hour, but we'd love to see 25 more. So
yes.
help us meet a goal of 25 by making a contribution now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The programs that you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your support.
You know that we are passionate about bringing you two wonderful hours of radio from 1 until 3, Monday through Thursday. We love what we do. We talk about books and history and trying to get along with other people better in sports and politics and education. We're here for you with all of these important topics.
And fun topics, too.
Like yes.
Today's topic. You know, we can't really do any of that without your support. So listener contributions make up, I think, about 40% of our budget, and that's a heck of a lot. So it's why we're here now asking for your gift, and you can make that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we love this during our membership drive. During the holiday season, give something extra. Your donation makes the programs that you love possible. And you can ask for food for 20 when you give $60 or food for 40 when you give $120.
Yeah, those thank you gifts provide meals to people that are facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. So do two good things with your gift this time to WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm John Nevins from Janesville, Wisconsin, and today I'd like to just share a little bit about why public radio means something to me. As a young boy, I listened to the radio quite a bit because we didn't have television. And I remember laying many times on a Saturday morning in front of the radio and listening to the programming and imagining that I was with the Lone Ranger or with whoever it was that was on the radio. And my parents forbid me to listen to the Green Hornet, but we used to sneak off and do it anyway.
He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Today I don't have to sneak off at all. I listen to it daily in the kitchen as I fix breakfast in the morning and at noon when I'm fixing dinner. It's a very special part of my life, and I am very, very proud to be a member of WPR and to be here today to share that thanks with the organization.
Well, that was fun. Thanks. Thank you. Pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and we are asking for you to support WPR during our year-end membership drive. Maybe your gift will be, I don't know, $10 a month. Maybe you can do $20 a month. We thank you very much.
Yeah, and, you know, Kathleen's here every day, and Scotty and I were all helping make these programs.
We should, yeah, absolutely.
But I want to point out that listeners really make the programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio worthwhile. But members make the program possible.
Yes, they do. You get all these great shows because members give us a large portion of WPR's budget. It's the single largest part. So please become a member now and make WPR possible with your gift, $5 a month or whatever, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Any gift at all. And maybe you've only discovered Wisconsin Public Radio just recently. We want you to know that WPR is listener-driven, nonprofit, non-commercial, and we're able to bring you more programming per hour because we don't have to take out time for those long commercial breaks.
So it's our business, really, to inform and to entertain you and provide quality programs for you to enjoy. WPR is your station, and it is only possible because listeners like you give what they can to support it. That's it. Support now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Yeah, supporting now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, and how much you'd like to give and how you'd like to pay for it.
And your gift, then, supports all the programs that keep you connected to the world. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Listeners like you provide the single biggest piece of our budget here at WPR. So make a pledge of $5 or $10 a month, any amount that's comfortable for you, and you'll be doing your part to keep this station strong. You can help. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
KP, we have eight more pledges to go, and we have about 35 minutes to get them. So please make your pledge now.
Yeah, and you also have a chance to do two good things at once with that pledge. Ask for food for 20 when you give a $5 a month pledge, or food for 40 when you give a $10 a month pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, think about becoming one. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Yeah, join Lori from Seneca, who says, I'm a sustaining member because I love your shows and listen to them all of the time. It's also a gift in memory of my mom, who listened her entire life. Thank you, and thank you, Lori.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks, everybody. Your gift is powerful, and it's very, very important. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Thank you so much, and thank you, KP. Our guest this hour is also offering valuable advice on how to stop the fight, how to break free from the 12 most common arguments, and build a relationship that lasts. Dr. Michelle Brody is our guest. We have one line open. There's great interest in this topic, so if you'd like to join us, the number is 800 for on air, 800-486-8655. And we start our calls, Doctor, with Joe in Green Lake. Hi, Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. Go right ahead.
My question is related to fights in my past with an ex. She lost her father at a very young age, 6 years old, and then had a very issue with her stepfather. And I found it in my readings that the relationships and having a quality relationship is strongly tied to having a young lady with a close relationship with her father, or the opposite. a young man a closer relationship with the mother and how that might cause emotional damage and psychological issues that would cause more fight.
Thanks, Joe, for your call. Doctor?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and it's just a very valuable point that what we experience in our past, in our families that we grow up in, definitely impacts us in our intimate relationships as adults. That's clear. And if you've had some difficult experiences, certainly in your early life, it can make your adult relationship more difficult. But that said, it's also your adult intimate relationship can be a place where you heal from some of those things. If you find a partner with whom you really can, get your needs met and feel a great attachment to that partner, you can in fact heal some of those childhood wounds. But if you run into difficulty, and a lot of times the fights that couples will have a tinge of the past in them. So, you know, today you might say to me, don't buy this thing. I want to buy this thing. And you're saying, don't buy it. We can't afford it. And as I hear it, I might, if I have in my past some history of feeling deprived around money, I might get extra angry than I would if I didn't have that in my past. And so it has a way, our experiences from the past have a way of inflaming what we respond to in our partners. And so if you're able to recognize what part comes from the past and what part is happening in the present, that certainly helps you. But it also is important to know something about what your partner's history is so that you can be empathetic towards it, so that you can actually say, you know, it makes sense that you would react a little bit more strongly to something like this given what you experienced. And that's hard for you, and I want to be sensitive to it. But it takes some real interest and engagement to be able to do that for each other, and a lot of times it's hard to get to that level because the fights get to be too extreme before you have a chance to really reach down into those softer feelings.
Mm. Do you have any sense, Dr. Brody, this has stayed in my mind, a very good friend of mine was talking about his parents once and said, you know, I can only remember their having a fight during all the years I was with them, maybe once or twice. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, it's so different. Whoopsie, so different than, I didn't grow up with a lot of fights in my family, but certainly in our family, we have fought many more times than once or twice. Is there a frame of reference for what's common and what's not common in terms of how often there are disagreements?
Yeah, well, if you think about it, it's such a good question because people often ask me, is it better to just have it out or is
right.
it better, you know, to kind of keep it more quiet, particularly when you're thinking about in front of kids, right? So I think, if you're having a loud fight, there's always a partner sometimes that says, that's too loud for me. I'd rather have it be quiet. And in the other direction, the louder partner might say, you're sweeping it under the rug. That's no good. So
mm-hmm.
What is it really? If you think about it, our instinct when we're feeling distress is one of two things. We either want to fight for the relationship or we want to protect ourselves and hold back from conflict. So in the your friend's parents, we're likely a couple who somehow by consensus or by what was most comfortable to the two of them, both decided to take the same strategy, which was to kind of quiet the fights by kind of keeping it off the radar.
Yes.
If that could work for them. It could equally work in couples where both parties love to just have it out, and afterwards they make up and they feel great together and they feel stronger and more connected. What's most difficult is when you have one partner who wants to have it out and one partner who wants to quiet it down. And, you know, while both of those strategies have merit because they're both attempts to save the relationship in some way, having it out is meant to solve it, and kind of quieting it down is meant to prevent conflict. Both are good, but when they're up against each other, they are triggering, intensely triggering to each partner. If you're trying to quiet it down and I'm trying to have it out, I'm going to be infuriated by your attempt to quiet it
exactly.
down.
Exactly, yeah.
But if you're trying to have it out and all I'm trying to do is quiet down, I'm going to equally be infuriated by that. So there's a way in which if we really understand the big picture, again, this is like seeing it from the audience view, if we can really see that we have different strategies, but they're both pointed towards doing something good, then we have a chance to find, okay, how do we balance this? How do we recognize what the impulse is underneath these strategies in order to make things better overall? Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much, Joe, for your call. Matthew in Sauk County. Hi.
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 My comment or question is kind of related to, you know, when I start a relationship, I set these rules of engagement. Hey, we're not going to fight on finances. When we fight, we're going to be calm and collected and talk about it. Are those rules of engagement good to set in the beginning, or are they more something to wait for?
How does it work out for you?
That's the most important question.
It's worked out, but normally, you know, I was in the military, so I was always gone a lot, so that was main cause a lot of failures of relationships.
So to answer your question, I think I'd say that rules of engagement are great if both parties love rules, right? So then if it feels like this is going to make us both feel secure, if we set aside, you know, kind of say in advance, this is our intention, this is how we want to be with each other, then it's fabulous. Because in many ways, if you do set some rules, you can prevent crossing of certain lines that would feel unsafe to each person. So if you say, let's make a rule, let's never curse at each other, and both parties love that rule, then you're setting a protection for yourself. That's great. So where it gets more complicated, of course, is where one person doesn't really like rules. They want to just be able to express something when it comes up for them, and it may not come up in the most healthy way. And so the other person is then saying, but we made a rule about this. We made a rule about this, and you're breaking the rule. And I have the moral high ground because we set the rule together, and now you're breaking it and I'm not. That's when it gets just a little more complicated, because how do you answer? If in the moment I need to break this rule in order to show you what I'm feeling, because I need you to hear something different than what we said under the rules, or I can't really fully express what I need to express without saying it with a lot more emphasis than we set the rule about. You know, that's where it gets more complicated. So I think ideally, if you're trying to not escalate fights, it's certainly a good strategy, particularly if you've had a history of escalating fights. But if there's ways in which the rules can also cause trouble. So it's not always faultless.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for your call. We'll take more of them in just one moment. This hour, we're speaking with the author of a very helpful book on stopping the fighting. And it is titled, Stop the Fight, How to Break Free from the 12 Most Common Arguments and Build a Relationship That Lasts. Dr. Michelle Brody is our guest. Our on-air phone number, if you want some advice, helpful advice, 800-486-8655. Busy hour for us, because this is also Wisconsin Public Radio's year-end membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley here in Milwaukee. Our single largest source of funding, you may be surprised to know, is listener support. And that means in this season of giving, your support is important. So take a few minutes at this very moment to support the programs you count on with your year-end gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
That's right. We're looking still for about 6 more pledges in the next, 20 minutes or so. So make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and rely on every day, like The Kathleen Dunn Show. Your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really does make a difference.
You listen to this program because we really do cover very important topics.
Whether it's national politics, international news, Wisconsin veterans, another one that Kathleen, you cover a lot, historical topics. That's the kind of substance and programming that's only possible with your support. So please make a contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can make your support even easier when you become a sustainer, and here's how you do it. You choose a monthly amount that's right for you. It might be $10 or $15 a month, and have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
The great part about being a sustainer is that your monthly gift continues year after year, so your support is always current. When you're listening to pledge drives, you can say, hey, I already did this. So become a sustainer now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552. It's probably the most efficient and powerful way that you can give.
People who listen, then that means you provide the most significant share of WPR's budget. Your donation helps us invest in all of the programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Yeah, and the contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and really for your entire community. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Joy Cardine, and we're back with On Your Money. Before the break, we were talking about how to save for those bigger things. When you just can't wait for a birthday or a holiday or whatever. Kevin?
Sure. Even though we're not kids anymore, I still recommend a piggy bank. They even make vegan ones.
We grow together. And with your support, we'll continue to grow.
It's compared to how I used to save as a kid.
Thanks, Susanna. Kevin, what do you think?
Yes, she makes a great point. When it is time to retire, you do not only need to have a piggy bank, you want as much money to spill out as you possibly can have.
I don't know why this conversation is sounding so familiar. John in Green Bay, go ahead.
Together, we are Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org, 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. It's our year-end membership drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley, and we just wanted to say to you that your gift of $10, $15 a month, whatever amount, is good for you. It's good for us.
Yeah, you listen to WPR every day. You know how important it is to you, and I know that you want it to be here for the next generation.
They should have access to the same quality news, information, entertainment that has nourished you. Your pledge of support is a building block for a stable future.
Yeah, invest in quality radio for yourself and for the next generation coming up. Make your pledge now at WPR.org, or you can just simply dial the phone, 888-202-2552.
Think about all these programs we do day after day. They inspire you. They inform you. They give you. They may help you, as this hour will, with how you interact with your spouse and not have as many fights.
Yeah. And
what's that worth, huh?
It's worth a lot. And,
yeah.
And what makes it all possible is really you. You contribute, and that contribution makes it happen.
You become a member, so do that with your pledge of $5 a month or whatever amount. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we know the time flies, and maybe it's been longer than you realize since you last gave to WPR. So now we're asking you to keep your membership active.
You may want to think of us like all of the other services that you rely on and that you pay for. The internet, your telephone,
Netflix, Renew, Hulu.
Netflix, exactly. Your cell phone. Yeah, I said the cell phone. Your newspaper subscriptions.
Newspapers,
I get a couple of those, yeah.
Magazines.
Thank you, KP, for adding to the list. Well, how about WPR? Renew your support for us with an ongoing monthly gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Again, we need six more pledges in the next 15 minutes or so. So help now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I really like this, that during this holiday season, you can give something extra. Please ask for the Food for 20 when you give $5 a month, Food for 40 when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much for your support. You can also make today the day you increase your support of WPR by maybe adding $5 a month or whatever amount you can choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sandy and Dale from Wauwatosa say, we think WPR is a necessity for our household, whether it is in our home or in the car. We've been contributors for many years, but decided it was time to try being sustainers. Thank you, Sandy and Dale.
Yeah, thank you for your sustaining pledges, and you can do that as well. Your pledge right now is important. WPR.org or
888-202-2552. What was that number again, KP?
That's 888-202-2552.
Thank you. Thanks, KP, so much for everything. This hour of the program, we are speaking with Dr. Michelle Brody, and she is the author of Stop the Fight, How to Break Free from the 12 Most Common Arguments and Build a Relationship That Lasts. Our phone lines are humming. There is a great interest in this topic, which is fully understandable because most of us have fights, and sometimes you can't believe you're in one and you can't get out of it, and then lo and behold, you have the same fight. Maybe not a week later or a year later. Alex in Sun Prairie is our next caller for you, Dr. Brody. Hi, Alex.
Hey. I was just curious about how can you tell after years of being together, like 5-10 years, if your partner is emotionally invested in the relationship and that's why they're involved with it still, or if it's just a matter of comfort and kind of a fear of starting over or such.
That's an awfully good question. I mean, it seems like the point of the question is if someone's really emotionally invested in it, then I want to stay with them. If they're just if it's just comfort and there's not something stronger, that would feel perhaps not as worth it. I mean, I think for so many couples, a part of what happens over time in a long-term relationship is that there are ways, in very small ways over time, distance can start building. And it's either because you're making a choice not to fight about something, so you're just not saying something you're not as that's emotionally something's not emotionally so fulfilling, but you're choosing not to say anything about it, or you're worried about putting a complaint out and then that sparking a fight, or you don't completely repair from fights that you do have, so you start to check out a little bit. That can get pretty insidious, and it. And what's interesting sometimes is that both partners could literally be having that same experience, but both are making the same choice to not talk about it. And it's a big shame when a couple like that comes into my office, into a couple's therapy office, they'll say, well, I'm feeling this way. Wait, you're feeling that way too, and we both want something deeper and something more emotionally connected, but mm-hmm. we're just a little worried that we're not going to be able to get there. Opening it is one of the, opening it in a vulnerable way and saying, I want something deeper with you. Are you in it for that deeper thing too? Is one of the best ways to just get the answer to that question.
Thank you so much. Here's somebody who has a area of concern when it comes to parenting, and I'm glad that you called about this. Elizabeth from Genoa City. Hi.
Hi. Okay. For married couples that have children, and one parent turns out, when they're teenagers and hit those really tough years, that one parent is more into discipline, rules, and consequences, logical consequences, and the other parent is more in the friend. I'll just be their friend and show I'm disappointed by ignoring them and hope it all goes away, and that's how I look at it anyway. So what is a good way to solve that where there's two different parenting styles?
Oh, that's a great question, and I address that in the book too, because it doesn't just happen with teenagers. It happens with parenting issues at all ages, where those are the two classic strategies. There's many ways in which we disagree about parenting, but those are the two classic ones. One where someone is much more about, we got to take a disciplined stance, another is more flexible or laid back. If you think about it, we get very polarized when it comes to that type of scenario. The fight becomes one person keeps talking about we got to be stronger about the discipline, and the other one keeps talking about we got to be more laid back and more connecting. You call it friendly. And if you look at that fight in terms of the big picture, and you recognize that what's happening there is that we're getting polarized on two values that are both important.
Mm-hmm.
You need both the discipline mm-hmm. and the connection. And so typically, once the fight starts, when you see one partner being too disciplined, the other one moves towards being much more friendly. When one's being too friendly, the other one's moving towards greater discipline. And the fight it happens because it's getting too polarized. So again, looking at it from the big picture, you'd say, how do we as a couple get both of these values in there? We need both. We mm-hmm. need our kid to feel both that we're authoritative and that we're going to teach them discipline, and that we're going to be alongside them, staying in connection with them, even as they go through difficulties. So the key there is to pull back and say, we really actually need both. How do we execute on a common message together that incorporates really elements of both pieces of it?
And as you say in the chapter on parenting, which I think is valuable, the model is not about giving in or compromising your values. Yeah. It's about reclaiming your interest in values that you may have lost sight of and working with your partner to take one another's concerns into account. That's valuable.
Yeah, it's right, because sometimes we compromise. Okay, this time we did it your way. Next time we'll do it my way.
Oh, yes.
And neither one feels happy with how that turns out.
Right.
But if you can say, wait a second, how do we get both parts of this? It's not that you care about discipline only, and I only care about being, you know, a friend. We both care about both.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for your call. Let's go to Gail next in Rockford, Illinois. Hi, Gail.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Go ahead, Gail.
Oh, I just had a question about how to work with somebody who, when they will complain about an issue, but then when you want to talk about it and you want to actually sit down and find a way to solve it, then they keep saying, you're keeping it going, you won't drop it, but dropping it never resolves it, and they don't want to talk about a real way to fix it, they just want to complain about it.
Yeah, I think the way I would see that kind of situation is to say, what is it that's driving the complaint? What's the feeling underneath the complaint? Because the way you're describing it, yes, it's very frustrating because someone's saying, don't do this or do this, but they're not kind of taking action, or they don't want to really dig in and talk about what it is. So, I mean, if we were to take any example about that, you know, in terms of some content, like, let me just answer it more generally. I think the idea there is, if I understand what's underneath your complaint, deeply under your complaint, what's bothering you really about this? You know, you're talking about you have too much of the share of the household responsibilities, and it's really bothering you. So at the surface, you're telling me that I need to do more. But what's really deeper about it? What is it that really is hurting you about it, and can I get more interested in that and help you with that feeling? Typically then, somebody doesn't want to drop it if you're getting interested in what's really important to them at that deeper level. But sometimes what you see at the surface, people are too worried that it's going to explode into a fight, and that's when you see that instinct to pull back and say, no, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to talk about it. It's going to start a fight, so I'd rather not. I want this thing to change, but I also don't want to fight. And that's a real dilemma for people. How do you solve it if you're afraid that raising it is going to start a fight? So it's getting under it and really trying to understand what the complaint is about that usually can help open it.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have to have you back and talk a full hour about this. We're in our membership drive, so we have to do that as well. But let's talk about this escalating fight. You have a chapter on this because, holy cow, can we all identify with that? You may start on something simple, and before you know it, you're back to, you know, all kinds of issues that are totally extraneous to what the disagreement is, and it gets really carried away.
Yeah.
What do you do about that one?
So I think of it this way. What you're up against, as I said earlier in the hour, is you're up against your fight-or-flight system. So typically, once the escalation starts, it's actually biologically very hard to de-escalate, right? So because you're already, your brain is on fire, right? The parts of your brain that are responding to a threat are on fire. And then as the fight ensues, you're throwing out threats to your partner, who's getting more fired up. And as they get more fired up, they're throwing out threats to you. So it's very hard to say, oh, I'm going to receive a threat and not respond. You know, my partner says something really insulting and I'm not going to say anything. And that's how, you know, it's actually very, very humanly hard to do. So what I usually advise people to do is one of two strategies. Either prevent the escalation. And the way you do that is by trying to decide in a quiet moment, what are some rules that we can set for ourselves to try to de-escalate this? And the second is figure out how you can call a mutual timeout. Okay, so the issue with an escalating fight is one-sided timeouts are really problematic because you might throw in your last barb and then say, okay, we're stopping the fight now. That's it.
Yeah, right.
Right? But because you can't receive a barb and then offer to stop the fight. That's just irresistible.
Exactly.
You must answer it, right?
Right.
So what I say to couples is try to figure out ahead of time, is there a way we could call a mutual timeout, a mutually respected timeout? So sometimes that can be, I mean, this may sound a little hokey, but an agreed-upon word or an object that you bring into the room that you've already invested ahead of time with a particular message, which is when this word is said or when this object is brought into the room, what we're talking about is not, okay, time out, that's it. It's really, I care a lot about you. I care a lot about our relationship. I don't want to escalate, and I know you don't want to either. This object or this word represents that. And we've agreed that when we get to this point, we want to respect our relationship and try to stop it. So it's not a simple meeting that this object or word has. It's not just a simple timeout like you would do with a child. It's more, let's agree we hate getting into these fights. We both don't like them. We both don't want to escalate. But we need to be able to mutually call the timeout, not, you know, try to stop the other person when they're in mid, you know.
Right.
Mid-fight.
Yeah, very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Brody, so much. We'll have you back so we can do a full hour sometime. I appreciate it.
That would be wonderful.
Dr. Michelle Brody, her book is Stop the Fight, How to Break Free from the 12 Most Common Arguments and Build a Relationship That Lasts. If that was helpful to you, and with the promise that we will have her back to have a full hour, please, this is our membership drive. We'd like to hear from you with your gift. 888-202-2552 is the number. I'm Kathleen Dunn with KP Whaley. We need four more pledges in the next 5 minutes to stay on track this hour. Your support is so important to us. Help with your gift, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And this is holiday season, so you can let your impact of your pledge go beyond just this great radio. You can also provide help to people in need. Ask for a food for 20 when you give a gift of $60, or food for 40 when you give $120. Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you, and you can do those two good things at once with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you decide what the pledge is going to be. Some of you might say $5 a month, or some of you may be blessed and can give $100 a month. Thank you very much. Just think about it, but know that we appreciate your gift, and please give it now. Four more pledges in the next few minutes, and we'll be on track. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Yeah, you know, you spend a few dollars a month, as the listener just said, for Starbucks. You know, you spend a few dollars a month on TV streaming or a movie subscription.
I know.
And every day you tune into WPR, you get great listening, great stories, great ideas, great book suggestions, and you get that all for free. So now's your time to help kind of keep that going with a small pledge at 888-202-2552.
And think about all that we give you. I mean, just, and we will do a longer show on this, but we all have disagreements with our spouses, and to be able to talk about that and get some advice, you know, it's an important thing. Where else are you going to hear that? You know, and the expert was good on this and gave some valuable tips on this. It's just, KP could do this too, because KP gives me advice on this too. You know, you're good at this stuff. You could write this kind of book.
That's right. I
know, you should. Okay, there you go.
But
we still need three more pledges.
That's right. We do need three more pledges. And if you think about a gift of $10 a month, if you add it up, it's like 30 cents a day. So you're getting this you're getting these great experts. You're getting these great opportunities.
30 cents
to
a day.
For just pennies a day.
Oh. Well, so spend a little right now and think of all that you'll get in return. You can join, renew, you can make an extra gift, whatever you want to do. It's good, good, good. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Only three more pledges.
Yes, three more. Let's go, everybody.
We can do three more pledges right now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And remember, this pledge drive, you have a chance to do two great things at the same time. Ask for food for 20 when you give $20 a month. Month, or food for 40 when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah. If you're not already a sustainer, consider that as well. It's easy to set up a convenient ongoing monthly donation from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Three more pledges.
Just three. Come on, let's get to where we need to be. 888-202-2552.
David from St. Francis gave. He says he loves public radio. Thank you. Thank you, David.
And a member from Madison says, thank you, WPR, for making my life so much richer.
Join that member and
it.
David.
Your life is richer.
Be one of those three
so
more
is ours.
Pledges.
We need each other. Please. Give us a gift. Thank you. It's easy. It's easy. It's 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. Thank you very much, KP. KP Whaley, extraordinary producer. Thanks to KP for producing this program. Thanks to Scotty Myers for his production work, too. And thanks to Katie Madsen. Hi, Katie, for on-air production. Thank you, one and all.